You are now listening to a Providence Community Church podcast. It is our hope that this teaching helps you on your mission to make the gospel unignorable in your city. For more information, visit www.providencetx.org.
Good morning, Providence. How are we doing this morning? Excellent. My name is Mike Murdoch. I'm one of the Covenant members here, and we are very blessed to have you guys with us here this morning. Here at Providence, we are a people committed to a singular vision, and that's to make the gospel unignorable in our city by making, maturing, and mobilizing disciples. Amen? To that end, we teach the Bible every week because we want to run to those words of truth in Christ. This week, we're continuing the sermon series entitled Dear Church, and we hope you all will consider the call to submit to the Lordship of Christ in all spheres of your life. Today, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 10, and going through chapter 3, ending in verse 4. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn there with me. If you don't have a Bible, we've got plenty in the seat backs in front of you, and if you don't own a Bible, that is a free gift from us to you. Again, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you are able, please stand with me for the reading of God's word. Providence, hear the word of the Lord. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. But I, brothers, could not address you as a spiritual people, but as a people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? Providence, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. I woke up this morning driving in, trying to figure out why I felt like I had forgotten something. Or lost something, and I realized it was that hour of sleep that evaporated last night. Time change is rough, man. I don't know why we still do that. I mean, I get it for farmers and stuff, but I'm selfish in that way, I guess. My name is Corey. If I don't know you, I'm one of the pastors here at Providence, and want to welcome you in this morning. Like Mike said, thank you for making us a part of your week, particularly if you're a first-time guest. Thank you. And our hope is always the same. Week in and week out, that through our morning together in gathering, we would make much of Christ, that would be evident to all who are here, who are gathered with us, and that through that, the gospel message would go forward, and those of you who are visitors would want to join us in covenant membership moving forward as we link arms to make the gospel unignorable in our community. So there's one thing before we get into the scriptures that I want to draw your attention to and make sure that you are aware. Saturday morning, we sent off a team to Reynosa, Mexico, a missions team. I want to read you these folks' names, and then we're going to pray for them, but I want you to have the names also so you can be praying while they are gone. The folks that are in Mexico right now are Jeremy Butler, his son Charlie Butler, which is cool that they're both there, Shannon Murdoch, Josh Miller, Johnny Sackett, Art Tanamachi, Court Marley, and Leah Elder. That one's mine. And we let her go too. I loaded. They left at like 5:15 from the house Saturday morning, and I got up out of bed like a good husband and loaded the heavy suitcases into the back of the truck and saw them out the door. So what they're doing while they're there, just in case you're not aware, they're building a house. They're going to be there and build a whole house in the time that they're there. And this house is for a young mother and her children who currently do not have a home. That's their whole goal of being down there. Plus, there's worship services and. We're praying and praying faithfully and believing that the Lord will allow them to also impart the gospel through that process and people will come to know him because they're there. And that's excellent. And we need to make sure that everyone's aware of that when we're doing it. You guys sent them. People sitting in this room, the members of this church, we sent them. And I'm proud of it. So I want to make sure that we highlighted that this morning before we got started. Now, I'm going to take a second. I'm going to pray for those guys. Then I'm going to pray for us. And then we're going to get into the text. Father, we love you, God, and we are just thankful for the privilege of being here together, to be surrounded by those who love you, God, to hear from you through your word, Lord, to sing praises to you because you are worthy. And God, right now, we just especially pray for these team members that we have sent to Reynosa this week, Jeremy, Charlie, Shannon, Josh, Johnny, Art, Court, and Leah. God, would you first and foremost give them opportunities to present the gospel? Lord, would you save people while they are there, my God, through their work, through their faithfulness, through their willingness to go, my God. Secondly, Lord, and also important, would you please protect them, keep them safe? God, they're loved by so many people here, and I pray that you would just safely let them accomplish that which you have called them to and then bring them home to us, Lord. God, I pray for the family that they're building the home for. The lady that Leah told me last night, they had an opportunity to meet her and the children, and the team got to spend time with them. God, would you just fall fresh on her heart? God, would you show her who you are, God, so that through this minuscule act of building a home, she may come to know you. God, her children may come to know you and their children and on and on and on through the faithfulness of our brothers and sisters that we have sent. God, we know you can, and we believe that you will. We ask you to do those things. God, for the rest of us that are here today, give us hearts that are pure, hearts that are open and ready to worship. Give us ears to hear. God, block out whatever might be going on in the outside that creates distractions and creates barriers to your word doing what it does, God. I pray that those among us this morning that don't know you would come to know you. God, I pray that every word I speak would be from you. Father, anything that's in me right now that is not from you, I pray that you knock it to the floor. Oh, God. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sorry, my wife's in Mexico. I'm a little more emotional than normal. It's weird. All right. So it's a quick, and also, that's how I handle those moments. I just try to be funny. I'm like, let's fix it. Let's fix it with some humor. No need to lay in that. So as a reminder of what we've already covered, Paul, he's writing this letter to the church in Corinth. And this is a church that we know that he planted. We see that in the book of Acts. But since leaving Corinth, Paul has continued to receive reports of all kinds of immorality and sin that has begun to plague the Christians there at the church. So as we make our way through this letter, when we get into further parts, Paul will begin addressing other areas of sin, very grievous things that Paul takes seriously. But for what we're doing now and what we've done so far, there really are only two things that have been addressed to this point. We're going to look at them a little bit more today. And we can only assume that these are issues of high importance to Paul because he puts them first. The first one is division among the church, division among its members, calling them back to unity. And secondly, what we'll look at today is Paul talks to them about the fact that they are not maturing spiritually. They're not ratably maturing in the way that they should be by this point. And that is why you see all of the sin that's entered the church and that exists there. So we'll kind of stick around there today. Like I said, he begins with those two issues because the truth is those two things, if they are healthy in the life of a believer, whether it's in Corinth or whether it's in Atascocita, if we are maturing spiritually and we are unified in the body, it is much more difficult for us to wake up one day and find ourselves mired in sin. Why is that? Because God designed it that way. He designed that to be the case. If believers are part of unified bodies, if they are linked to churches, if they have people in their life that are pushing them toward spiritual maturity, toward the Lord, they are in Christian community, it's happening in and around them, and they're pursuing it every day, you are much less likely to fall prey to the snares of Satan in our day-to-day life in a way that is not overcomable for you. And this is important for us, because unfortunately, the modern day church in general, like that we see the American church and that culture, often those two things are still not their primary focuses. There's a lot of other things going on, right? A lot of other things that are happening, but maturity and community are not necessarily at the top of the list. And without strength in those areas, we too, just like the Corinthians, risk finding ourselves aimlessly drifting in a world where sin is all too commonplace and accepted. And in the culture we live in today, you know what I mean when I say that. Sin is something that you know, there are things that we believe as Christians are sins that are not called sins in the world. It's always been that way. But it feels more readily in your face right now than it has at other parts of my life. And here at this church, here at Providence, we value community. We value continued pursuit of spiritual maturity in community, and we do that because we believe that that is the anchor by which we are kept from drifting into those rocks and having those problems. So having said that, I'm going to jump right into the scriptures, going to verse 10. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10 says, "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God." So what things is Paul talking about? Back up with me to verse 6. I'm going to read 6 through 9. "Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." Before he says that, in verses 1 through 4, Paul tells them, reminds them that he came to them only proclaiming Christ and Christ crucified. And he's careful to stress that he did that without using lofty words and without fancy speech, because he wants to make the point that the main thing should remain the main thing. It should always be the main thing. And he tells them, he goes as far as to say he was with them in weakness and fear and trembling. And he did all of this to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit. This was Paul's mindset as he's with the Corinthian church. And here's the thing. He was more than qualified to wow them with his intellect, right? The guys that preached the first few sermons in here over the last month and a half, whatever it's been, have done a great job tearing that up. So I'm not going to get into it much. If you missed them, go back and catch them on the podcast. But I want to make the point so that we can set the table for what we're doing today. That Paul could have gone in and wowed them with his intellect. He could have wowed them with his amazing skills as an orator. He was incredibly well-learned, but he chose not to do things that way. He chose to keep it simple, but he also chose to make it powerful by keeping it simple. This was his focus. So Paul emphasizes to the readers that our belief in the gospel is not because we've read enough. It's not because we've learned enough to be educated or convinced, but simply because of the Holy Spirit's revelation to us about the gospel's truth. Without that, none of these words mean anything. He goes on to tell the church that the rulers of this age, they didn't understand that. The rulers at the time, they didn't understand that point. And even with all of their knowledge and all of their wisdom, they crucified Christ because they were lacking the revelation of truth that can only come through the Holy Spirit, through the illumination brought into our lives through the Holy Spirit. And hey, look, even more so today, right? Not only has the Lord promised us the Holy Spirit, but we live in a time when we have the full canonized scripture with us, and it's readily accessible. We have every seat back pocket in this church has a Bible in it. And hey, guess what? If you don't have one at home, take that one with you. It's available to us. I think I've been in church my whole life at some level. If you go into my office in my house and you turn and you look at the bookshelf, there's probably 40 Bibles in every different thing that you can imagine. They're just there because I bought them over the years. I don't get rid of them. I just collect them as I move on. As they tear up, we just stick them up there and let the covers fall off. They're just there. Books are everywhere. If you don't want to read, if you're not a reader, there's an app on your phone that you can download for free. You ain't even got to read it. It's got study plans in there. You can click a button and Morgan Freeman will read it to you while you drive to work. After today, after these two, I want the app that Mike Murdoch reads the Bible to me from. You did a great job, dude. That was awesome. I felt like I needed to say that. I was very happy. Could read it to you. I had a really good friend of mine one time. We were talking. I get up early in the morning to head into work. I mean, by 5 o'clock, I'm normally on the road. And I made the comment. I was like, man, I'm really struggling to get up that early and spend the time I need to spend in the Word. And he was like, well, you know, on the days that you can't, why don't you just listen to the Bible on your commute? Why don't you just let it read it to you? I'd never done that before. And that's a revolutionary thing. Like, it's pretty crazy. You'd be surprised how much you can roll through in a 40-minute commute both ways each day. You can get through a lot of scripture in that amount of time. And it helps you focus too. But all of that stuff is right at our fingertips. So for us, when Paul says in verse 10, he says, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. We have incredible ways for us to be able to get in and study and learn the things of God. Paul's saying here that the Spirit resides in the believer. And the Spirit provides illumination so that when we read the text, when we spend time in the scriptures, we are able to understand and apply it because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's a promise sealed from the Lord for those of us who believe. That's an incredible truth for us this morning. He goes as far as to say that we will come to understand what no eye has seen or no ear has heard or no heart has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And those things are the unfathomable blessings of God that are clearly seen and understood when illuminated in the scriptures by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what we have. And so often we forget it. I'd venture to say that the Holy Spirit is probably the most understood facet of the Christian, the most misunderstood facet of the Christian faith. And I'm not saying that as someone up here that is boasting that he understands it. I mean, I'm a high school educated employee of ExxonMobil. We're not even that cool. Like we're scared of everything. We're worried about tripping on stuff. We're reading off of cards to even go outside and get into a vehicle. But the reality is that the scriptures make it clear to us. I grew up in the church. I grew up a Southern Baptist kid, small town Southern Baptist, with everything that that entails. From student ministry to all the things that have become parodies these days on Facebook Reels and stuff. And I laugh at the parody because I get the joke, but I also know how valuable that stuff was in my life. So yeah, it's funny in a way, but at the same time, that stuff was impactful, dude, whether you thought it was cheesy or not at the time. But the reality is, because of that and because of the influences I had in my personal life, I grew up incredibly confused about the role of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I had my parents had me when they were young, 19 and 20, I think. So I spent a lot of time at my grandparents' home. That wasn't because my parents were taking care of me, but it was because we lived in Hull, Texas. Which, if you know anything about Hull, there's about 300 people there, and most of those were somehow connected to my family. So my grandparents were about a quarter mile from my house, and everybody would rather be at grandma's than at mom and dad's, right? And my mama and papa were the first two that really began to impress into my life and expose me to the things of God. They were solid Christian folks. I refer to them all the time as pillars of the faith. My papa was an old school, like oil field guy that loved the Lord, but would also slap a knot on your head in a heartbeat. He didn't play. I mean, he was an old school dude, and that's the way that he was. And both of them were great Christians. They had a deep faith. But they also operated sometimes as what I would say at 42 years old. I wouldn't tell them this because I get not slapped on my head. But they kind of operated as spiritual mutts in a way. You know, because there was this, I mean this in a good way, hear me out. So in the firsthand with them, there was this staunch Baptist teetotalers. Anything when it came to theological issues, it was this very grounded, staunch Baptist upbringing, small town Baptist people. But then they were very Pentecostal when it came to the Holy Spirit. Thursday night was our night to go over there. My brother and I, we would go all the time, but there was this one special night that, you know, my mom would take us about 6. My mom would cook, we'd eat, we'd hang out. And about 8 o'clock, she'd come and get us. I don't know what we did. Watch the Cosby Show, tore stuff up. We did something. And but here's the thing I got exposed to on those Thursday nights. The first Thursday of every month was prayer meeting at their house. And this wasn't like prayer meeting where you go around the circle, share your request, and then everybody prays and eats food. This was like prayer meeting. We're going to pray. Spirit's going to show up. People are going to fall. They're going to cry. They might run around the house. And if we get to eating, we'll get to eating, but we're going to pray first. And if we're tired when we're done praying, we're just going to go to the house. Now, this would go on for hours. And I was a young dude just kind of hiding in the back bedroom like, man, what is happening in there? So when I say that I grew up fairly confused about the Holy Spirit's role, that's part of that. And because of that, obviously naturally defaulted to erring on the side of caution and order, which I still kind of stand on. But at the same time, what Paul is doing here, what he's doing for us, is clearing up that confusion. He's giving us right here the primary function of the Spirit in our lives. And that primary function is to illuminate the mysteries of God to those who love God. It's the primary function. All the other stuff, I don't know, but that's the primary function of the Spirit. Here's the thing, and like I said earlier, we also have the Scriptures. Not only do we have the Spirit, but we have the Scriptures. And what we know and what we believe is that these Scriptures are fully sufficient to give us everything that we ever need from God. Everything. Every ounce of anything that has to do with life and godliness is found here. All of it. We don't need anything additional. We don't need to add to it. We certainly shouldn't take away from it. I don't need to read a book. You can. Those are good tools. But the reality is if you've got this, you've got everything. But the role of the Holy Spirit in our life is to make sure that even though we have this, that we can read it, understand it, and apply it. And God works through it. That's what the Spirit's doing in us day in and day out. No additional revelation required because it's all here. But without the Holy Spirit's illumination, this remains a mystery to us all. All of us, lost, saved, whatever. If the Holy Spirit's revelation is not here, then it remains a mystery. This is why in the book of 1 John 4:1, you'll see it come up here. It says this, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." Well, how would we test the spirits if we don't know? You test them with this. If what you are being confronted with is if what is being brought to you does not sit well, if it does not align with Scripture, it is not from God. That's just the reality, and that's the baseline truth. That's why we always go back to the Scriptures. We always go back here, no matter what comes up in front of us, no matter what we're dealing with, this is the standard for truth right here, and it's the Holy Spirit that helps us understand that. So Paul continues to explain this a little bit in verse 11. Let me read that to us. "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except for the Spirit of God." So Paul here begins to draw a parallel between the spirit of man and the Spirit of God and how those things operate. He says, "Who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person?" And I feel that because if you guys knew the number of thoughts that come into my head every single day that I wish did not come into there, you would be astounded by that. And the truth is the same for you guys. We all kind of live in that same world, whether it's silly stuff like traffic, dealing with whiny people at work. The amount of thoughts I've got in that regard sometimes are tough. I have to really fight to keep everything together. Parenting a 13-year-old. You know, some of us are there. I'm just now wading into that. It's really an interesting thing. But the reality is even below those things, even below those surface level things, there's sin, right? There's internal struggle. There's the struggle of knowing that someone I love is also struggling with sin. And the thought that I need to step in there and help them before they are destroyed by it. And I just don't. It's all of us. At some level, this is going on. And Paul uses that to say, hey, just like as with the man, no one knows the depths of thoughts in those hearts or those moments unless the man tells someone or unless the man confides in someone and allows someone to speak into it. In the same way, no one can comprehend the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. He goes on to say that the Spirit searches everything. even the depths of God. And here he's not saying that the Spirit has to search for the wisdom of God. No, rather, the Spirit of God knows the things of God because he is God. He knows the things of God because he is God, just like a man's spirit is one with that man. But the Spirit searches the depths of God on our behalf and then imparts those truths to us, to those of us that believe. And that should make the promise that Jesus made to the disciples in John 16 even more incredible to us. Look at John 16, verses 6 through 15. He says, "But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Here it is. "All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine, and he will declare it to you." Wow. That's incredible to me to read that. "All that the Father has is mine, and the Spirit will take what is mine and he will declare it to you." Furthermore, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Helper, the one that God has sent that knows the intricacies of God's thoughts and desires, knows it all. And he's placed him in us so that we might also have access to the thoughts and the intricacies and the desires of God through the Spirit. That's pretty supernatural. Matter of fact, it's completely supernatural. For those of us who struggle with the Spirit being a supernatural thing, I mean, that's that. That's what that is. Basically saying, I put my thoughts, my desires, my wants in you so that you can decipher the text and understand the heart of God. And what does that do for us? Well, Paul will tell us. Verses 12 and 13. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." So what Paul writes now is that the Spirit has been received to allow us to understand the things freely given to us by God, namely the privileges of the gospel and the rich distributions of grace given to us by a gracious God. It's the two primary things. The Spirit gives us those. The more our recognition of those things increases, the further we find ourselves traveling down this path of sanctification, making us more like Christ and less like the world. Hence, why the Spirit's in us. Right? If you look back at yourself, if you think back, I don't know, 5, 10, 20 years, whatever it is, if you are in Christ, there should be a general trajectory of growth in that time. That's sanctification. That's the come to know the Lord immediately. You're kind of like, wow, what do I do with this? And over time, as the Spirit works and you're in the Scriptures and you're in community and you're in church, you find yourself looking more and more like the Lord as time goes along. Now, that process is not completed this side of glory, right? But it should be something that's taking place. If you are 10 years down the road in your walk and you're the same person you were 10 years ago, you really need to consider your standing before the Lord, because this is not an optional thing. Sanctification is not optional. It is not something that you do. It's something that happens to you by the power of the Spirit. So Paul's driving home with us here. And just as the apostles did, when that starts to happen to us, we have a responsibility to be continuously imparting that knowledge to one another. Why is community important? Because we are continually imparting the knowledge of the gospel brought to us by the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures to each other. We have to be. That has to be part of the thing. It's part of our growth. You ever wonder why we're so heavy-handed on gathering on Sunday and doing things the same way every week? We're going to sing. We're going to sit under the preached word. We're going to have communion together. We're going to pray. We're going to bless each other on the way out. Why is that? Because of this. Because it is our responsibility. And this is from, I'm speaking from this perspective, right? But that responsibility is also imparted to the membership, right? It's imparted to everyone as they go. This is why we preach. This is why we do what we do. Our ability to interpret and teach from the scriptures in a way that others can understand has absolutely nothing to do with which one of us is in this pulpit or who's going to be in the future that's sitting out there right now. Nothing to do with it. Court's excellent. Court is one of my best friends on the planet. I love him. I'm at this church because the first time I heard him preach, I said, I got to keep listening to this guy. It doesn't matter if he's up here or if the next guy's up here. What we want to do each and every time is ensure that regardless of our skill in speaking and being eloquent, that we are grounded in the scripture. You're going to hear the same thing from all of us. That's great news. Because you know what that means? I don't have to be anything other than what I am. Just me. 42-year-old dad that works, that loves you, that loves this church, that loves the ministry for whatever reason, even though it's hard sometimes, and it feels like it'd be easier to just go away and do something else. I'm introverted naturally, but I'm extroverted in the way things happen. I don't know why. It's confusing. And it leads me down paths of confusion. But you know what I've got? And I hope you have it too. I have a group of men around me at all times that keep the bit in my mouth. To go back to the whole Texas, you've heard old man say that before? You got to keep the bit in his mouth? That keeps the horse on the road. I believe it was, I'm going to say this name, but don't throw me out of here. Mark Driscoll, I think, one time said that a loaded trailer pulls straight. So the more responsibility, he was talking about men, the more responsibility you can put on a man, the more likely it is that that man stays on track. I firmly believe that the Lord just continues to put rocks in my trailer. There's no other reason for this. It's the grace of God. And I don't know why I'm there, but this is where I got. And I don't know why I said that right now, because it's not in here. But nonetheless, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter all of us. It doesn't matter who stands here. The message is the same, because the gospel never changes, ever. And God forbid we ever add anything to it or take anything away from it. I would expect that you guys would drag me out of here if that ever happened. And I know there's some in here that will. Once again, community. Love it. Been at this church 10 years. You can't just organically redo those relationships if you let them go. You can't do it. If I left right now and spent 10 more years building more relationships, I would be 53 years old almost before I got what I got right now. Why? Why would that ever happen? Why would I let that happen? I don't know, but it does. And we'll get into that later. I'm ahead of myself. So catch this. Paul says that the spiritual truths that are being interpreted through the words of the scriptures are being received by those who are spiritual. So when we preach, whether from a pulpit, or this is where it comes back to not just the people up here, but everyone, whether the next time you find yourself preaching is over a warm ham sandwich with forklifts running behind you in the break room at work, because whether you know it or not, that is also preaching. You are preaching the gospel to your coworkers. Whether it is